from life to death to life again. Christ has overcome. I mean, that is good news. That is good news for us who are here today. A really unrehearsed, I want to share something with you that came by way of an email to me today from friends of ours who live up in the Terrace area. In fact, he was Charles and Ann Claus. Charles was our first Vineyard pastor when we first got introduced to the Vineyard, whatever that was, right? Charles was our pastor. The Charles and Ann are they semi-retired? Maybe, kind of, but not really. He's got a full-on little farm going on where he markets to the community of Terrace now, and Ann is just in the process of finally shutting down her full-time bakery and then setting up a smaller bakery at their home. But Charles wrote to me, he said, and it was really included me with a small batch of people, and asked us to be praying for them. He said, this past week, he said, we got some very tragic news that Ann's younger brother, Tim, and his wife, Sarah, both passed away in a sudden accident that occurred in their rural acreage just outside of Barrhead, Alberta. Anybody know where that is? Barrhead? We spell that with two R's, Barrhead. What happened is their older building that they were dismantling collapsed on them. Yeah. And this is where Sarah comes from. Tim and Sarah were married in September of 2021, had a great love for each other, and were enjoying married life together. Tim owned his own mechanic shop in Barrhead, and Sarah worked as a receptionist in a medical doctor's office in Barrhead. Tim had three children in their 20s, one who's married. Sarah had two children in her 20s. One who's married. And he just says, look, we're reeling from this tragic news and taking it day by day as we make plans to drive to the funeral later this week. He said, we're going to be leaving Thursday morning overnight in Prince George and then proceed on to the Barrhead Westlock area on Friday afternoon or Friday morning. Our niece, who lives in Prince George, will join us on the drive. So he said that, you know, Saturday next week, the funeral is going to take place at Barrhead Alliance Church. We head back to Prince George on Sunday, return to Terrace Monday. He said, Tim and Sarah were married in September of 2021. They had a great love for each other and were enjoying their married life together. Both had a deep Christian faith. And he just says, can you keep us in your thoughts and prayers as we grieve and process this loss? I thought that was kind of one is that I know the power of prayer, and it's something that I want to share with our body. We'll be sending out, obviously, a prayer request. Colleen, who's not here today, but we'll get Colleen to send out a prayer request, and we'll be lifting them up. But I thought about them today, about, you know, celebrating life and then suddenly experiencing such a tragic loss. And yet, it's, you know, it almost is like, you know, with losses like this, you don't want to fill it with a lot of words. But on the other side of death, we have the promise of life again. Today we're slowing down. I told Matthew here today that I was hoping that we would slow down just a bit today. I've been trying to do that for 4 years, I think, or 5 years. I think I'm on record at least 4 years saying we need to slow down. I wanted to reflect on Jesus' victory over death. I mean, I was reading these words to myself as I'd already crafted them out and thought about, you know, addressing you here today when I got this email from Charles. And I'm thinking, oh man, are you kidding me? Like now, today, here I am trying to process this. Now, historically, the focus of the mainline and the more liturgical expressions of the church, and now a growingly inclusive and an awakened move among young evangelicals, Christians from around the world have paused and moved into a season of Lent. How many are familiar with that word, Lent? Yeah, most of us, maybe. Lent represents a season of prayer and fasting and of personal examination. And I would, you know, when I use the word personal examination, I would suggest heavily that you do so with the presence of God. He's way kinder than you are to yourself. And he's all revealing. Even when he has some tough stuff to share, it always comes a little differently, doesn't it? The other thing can feel like condemnation. Jesus addresses us quite differently. So as we come into this season of examination, and we do so, that's been the practice of the church, we do so in anticipation for the celebration of our Lord's resurrection on Easter. We are living on the other side of Jesus' resurrection. That's the beautiful narrative behind all that we celebrate. It's kind of like we already know the story, and he's with us. Lent, typically, it'll last for a period of 40 days, is what the church has, you know, through history celebrated. And throughout Scripture, we see this days of 40 as a pattern, don't we? We see it reflected through story. Firstly, we see it in the worldwide flood of that we read in Genesis. It rained, didn't it, for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses stayed atop the mountains of Mount Sinai, where he received the Ten Commandments, written into stone tablets by the finger of God. He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah journeyed through the desert and to Mount Horeb to meet with God. And in the book of Jonah, the entire city of Nineveh, it says, believed God. They turned from evil and violence, and they covered themselves in sackcloth. And everyone from the youngest to the oldest fasted and called out urgently on God to relent from judgment and to show them compassion. And finally, we see in Jesus' own time of testing in the wilderness. Luke writes, he says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led out by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And then fully surrendered to the love and the will of his Father, Luke goes on to say, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. He went out full of the Spirit, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. Something is going on in this time of Lent. Something is going on in this 40 days that we set aside to be with the Lord. Something goes on in us when we just simply, and never mind the 40 days, when we purpose to slow down and to press into Christ. When we maybe deny ourselves of some things that are distractions and pleasures to us, and we turn to God and make him our sole pleasure. Something happens and transforms inside of all of us. Lent invites all of us to pause and to lean into God as our source, our needed source, that place where we come to surrender. And in that surrender, discover new life, eternal life, in fact. In the early church, Lent was a time of preparation and celebration of baptisms. Have any of you been baptized in Easter? Has that happened to any of us? No. Did some of you want to get baptized this Easter? Is that? What? How long? Well, a few years ago. Like, yeah, just a few, right? That's beautiful. Right here. Well, that's awesome. I've often wondered what it would be like to get baptized in here. I noticed they don't have any clear glass here or anything. So you, how was that experience, Sandy? It was good. Just as I am. Oh, good for you. Baptism was very, very special for Debbie and I. It marked a special time. Well, Lent, traditionally in the church, going back far enough, was a time of preparation for the celebration of baptisms. Reflective of God's love. See, we're always being invited to embrace the way of the cross. And baptism represents that. Lent represents this. Our celebration here today represents some of that. The only way to move on and into the celebration of Easter is to pass through death. To move past it. Jesus invites us to appropriate the new life that is behind, beyond the power of death. It isn't all end here. For Tim and for Sarah, it doesn't all end here for them. But the family is left to mourn. Their friends are left to mourn. Jesus invites us to appropriate this new life that is beyond the power of death. Ironically, in order to live for Christ here, we must first die with him in order to be raised up in the resurrection of his life. And that's what baptism is. It's symbolic, but not only is it symbolic, there's something going on in us. To live for Christ, we must die with him. Like when he says, come and follow me, he also says, come and take up your cross. Come and follow me. New life requires a daily surrendering of the old self, letting go of the present order, or so that we can embrace the life-giving spirit in a renewed humanity, a newness of life. Every time God is calling us to embrace his life-giving spirit and to be transformed. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes, I die every day. That's how literal Paul takes that. The church's proclamation, our proclamation, is that in dying we live. When we're baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his death. But we're also being renewed with his life. The way of the cross, the way of to Easter's resurrection, life and power is through the death of our old self. That old self is still raising its head from time to time. I don't know if you found that in your life, but I find it in my life. Seems like every time I want to be more like him, I find out that I have difficulties and I have stretches and I have what my good friend Neil Black would say, these challenges are opportunities. Christ is always presenting me with new opportunities. Every time we surrender to Christ and lay down our will and lives to him, Jesus promises a renewed and eternal life. Today, here, and through Easter, I want to introduce you to just seven. That's a nice number, isn't it? Seven. It was started off at two, then it went to three, and then it became seven. I thought, well, seven's fairly biblical. Seven verses that will help you to reflect on the Christ who has conquered death. That's who we're coming to. It's the resurrected Jesus himself who comes to us and says, follow me. So seven verses to reflect on Christ who has conquered death. One of the things that we do typical of these communion Sundays, and we haven't actually, it's been 3 months since we've done something of what we would call a sacred reading exercise. This is a little different today. We're not just dwelling on a single verse and then repeating that and sitting on that to share amongst one another. But I want us in a bit of a listening exercise. I want you to be thinking as you hear these scriptures, as you hear them read out over us, as you read them for yourselves. Whenever we're approaching God's word and we're not doing so in a rush, right? Not volumes of read, but taking time to just breathe in and breathe out and breathe the scripture into us and out and invite the Spirit to illumine things for us. There's four questions that we can ask ourselves. What is the overarching theme of what I'm reading, of this passage or even these passages? You can take them one passage at a time. You can take them as a group. Which line in the particular verse that I'm reading is impacting me now? So that's part of that posture thing, being aware of what's going on with you, maybe even physically or emotionally or otherwise. And then be asking yourself the question, why might that be? Invite the Lord to help you identify that. And then, assuming we are hearing something for the Lord, what is my response to the Lord about the things that He and His Spirit is revealing to me? And then as we set scriptures aside and we move into a time of prayer, there's these other questions that we might ask. In my own journey with Jesus, what am I being asked? And notice this word that I felt to put in there. What am I being asked and empowered? God's not asking you to do this on your own, but he'll help you with it if you ask. And he says, what am I being asked and empowered to both release? That could include people and places and situations. And what's he inviting me to pick up through this season? So we're going to just do a real simple exercise here, and we're going to read through seven scriptures together, and we're just going to go through it once. And I'm going to invite our readers to come up and to carefully just read through the text, not race through it, but just come and read it out over us, and then we're just going to sit on it for a minute, and then when it's appropriate, we'll get the second reader to come up, and we'll just, by the time we hit the seventh reader, we should be pros. We should be really good at this. So who's got our first scripture? It should say there. Lillian. And Lillian, I'm going to get you to come up and use the handheld microphone here. You could come up the stage, or you can use this little thing here. So let's just take a minute, and we're just going to pray, and then I'll get you to, we'll start reading. So Jesus, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to just come and illumine their word to us today. Just light it up inside of us, Lord Jesus. The Word of God who came to life and who moved into the neighborhood and lives amongst us and lives in us, will you stir in us now your Word as we read it? Will you give us discernment? I sense two words as I'm asking that. Look for peace and look for anything that rises up in you in terms of joy. That doesn't sound too bad, but what in your reading puts a skip in your step as you think on it? And pay attention to dread, too. It's okay. Sometimes we're always looking for the feel-good emotions and things, and we think, well, that must be God, and anything else is something else. But if you feel anything else rising up in you, ask the Lord what that might be about. Like, why would that be stirring up in your heart? What in particular might you be doing there? And this may not be the place to reveal it, but if you go away from here and you're here and you've got somebody that you can confide to, then do that. It's just whatever God's sort of putting on your heart. But we just invite you, Jesus, now just illuminate your word in our hearts. Sure, whenever you feel ready, Lillian.
Hebrews 2:14-15. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death.
Here, I'll take that for you. Do you want to curate the mic? If there's anything that is standing out to you, I don't know if you've got a pencil or anything in your area there, just make a note of that. Okay, who's got scripture number 2 for us here? Okay, come on, Patty.
Second Timothy 1, verses 9 and 10. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Who's our third reader here? Come on up. Deb's got a microphone for you.
This is Romans 6, verses 8 and 9. If we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him.
So if you're the fourth reader, whenever you feel like you want to come up, come on up.
John 11, can you hear? John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live.
Isaiah 25, verses 7 and 8. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.
Second Peter 2:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades.
through the balance of your next 2 weeks, of my next 2 weeks, can we be encouraged to just set aside, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes of your day, and to reread and just reflect on Christ who has conquered death. And I know I've said it already, but let the Spirit Himself fill and inspire you. Don't think of this as homework, but think of this as an opportunity to just come before the Lord and enjoy Him. The Holy Spirit was given to us to teach us. That's His role. That's His job. That's His design. And there's nothing more exciting than having Him reveal His heart to us. Just thinking of the two men on their road to Damascus trip after the death of Christ, and they're certain it's all over. They have a journey on the road, right, with Jesus. I think we just talked about this probably last week, or we referenced this. But look for that something in your heart to burn when you read these words and when you think about this, and as you think about Easter that is to come, where we will indeed gather together and we will celebrate His resurrection. But invite God to speak to you. I highlighted some things as you all read, and I think I'll go back to them and look at them again. But was there anything of notoriety that stood out to you as we read these scriptures? Is there one or two things that... Yes? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, elsewhere in the scripture says, I'll come and take you with me. You know, that it's, you know, anywhere where Jesus is, I want to be. Right? Yeah, go ahead. What's... Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. And I would say that it's here now. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and I. And every time we come to this table, we're invited to partake of that. Right? Go ahead, Alan. There's nothing between us and God now. I like that. Do you need to hear that? There's nothing between you and God. Yes. Isn't that astounding? Like it's already been, I highlighted that. It's good that you're bringing that up. What is that? What does that do to you? Such a gift. Before the beginning of time. It's God's already stored this up. Jesus, who was before time itself, already had this stored up and prepared for us. It's there. It's ours to appropriate. Yeah, it's who he is. It's always been there. It's always been for us. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, established. It's what God invites us into. Yeah. See, we could play ping pong with God's word now, couldn't we? Hey, so beautiful. So, communion. As we eat and drink and we engage in a physical enactment of the presence of God, this is, you know, this is what we're doing here, guys. You know, maybe we're coming with sins that are unconfessed. Do you want to prepare the elements? You know? But regardless of who and what's compelled us to attend here today, Jesus invites you and I to eat and to drink deeply and to tell him that, Lord, I believe. And in those areas where I'm struggling with unbelief, will you help me now? The Lord invites you. He invites all of us to come to him. To eat the same bread and wine. All of us. Communally, together, corporately. We're eating of the same bread and wine. And in the same way, and to collectively, you know, find ourselves stumbling back into his story and his narrative time after time after time. Maybe you come impatient for something. Maybe you're impatient for answers. You're anxious for the now of God, God's presence, and you're a little tired of the not yet for the breakthroughs that you're maybe looking for. And maybe, you know, maybe that presents with a bit of a rub. Jesus invites all of us to sit and to eat and to stop and drink and to be with him at the table with him. Just come and be. Maybe you come unsure if you're even part of this thing called the church while you're here today. And I'll tell you, that takes something to come out today. It was like 16 degrees. It might have felt like 36. I don't know. It's such a glorious day and time, but you're here. You're part of this thing called church, and you're welcome. You're welcome. In eating and drinking, we're being summoned to recognize our shortcomings and God's provision. Where was that? The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. We're coming to appropriate something that's been set aside for us all along. Before we could earn or deserve it, it was already set aside for us. Right? It was already set aside for us. God invites us over and over again to embrace the always, always present kingdom of God that is among us. It's what he came to proclaim when he came to the earth the first time. As God's son, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Go and tell him this. And you're probably going to have to do a few things to try and prove your case. Just go and proclaim that the grace of God, which has been set aside since the beginning of time, is here. The day is now. God invites us to the table. That he's the table of his son and our king. Whoever you are, come and eat. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. This isn't some kind of a magic show. Instead, we're making space and we're opening up our lives and our hearts to His Holy Spirit. And we're saying, come and pour your love out into my heart again. As Jesus, as Paul would say, be being filled all the time. Be being filled with my Spirit. Well, I may not subscribe to being a dyed-in-the-wool Calvinist, and that might shock some of you. I don't know. Some of you are going, what is Calvinism anyways? But John Calvin put it well when he said, the sacraments properly fulfill their office only when the Spirit, that inward teacher, comes to them, by whose power alone hearts are penetrated and affections are moved, and our souls are opened for the sacrament to enter in.